Hi, James.
Bubbles.
This is Bubbles.
Bubbles.
What's your name?
Bubbles. Bubbles.
What's your name?
Bubbles.
Tell the people your name.
James.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Bubbles, the podcast.
Episode number 60. 60. What?
60 episodes. That's crazy.
We've been doing this for a minute.
Yeah, over a year. That's more than a minute.
So we've got an amazing show for number 60, don't we?
Yeah, we've got a pretty good show going on here. I mean, we've got a lot of topics, got a lot of stuff to talk about, we got some water tasting. You know, we've only got 5 waters here, and that's normally, like, our average or maybe even above our average. But I think it's episode 60, we might have to pull some more waters in here.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, what I noticed right off the bat is Topo Chico is not present in our 60th episode.
Well, there's a reason for that.
Well, there
is. But we're going to have to get into that.
Should we do it now, or?
Well, why don't we tease a few more of the segments that are upcoming as well, because we've got some big news about the water festival. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Definitely going to get into
big
that.
Big news in the water world this past week. And also, big news for Axel, I guess.
Yeah.
The Axolotl. What a creative, beautiful name. I wonder who came up with it.
Axl Rose.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the best ways to ship water, too. We got that coming up, because that's been a bit of an issue.
Yeah, definitely has.
So I'm thirsty, James. Which one should we crack open here?
You know what? I'm kind of intrigued, because this is a
new water alert! New water alert! New water alert! New water alert!
Okay, yeah, so I'm intrigued by this water for a few reasons. One, it's a new water alert.
New water alert, right on.
And two, I think it's stupid.
But is it a new water alert? Because I know this brand. I've been drinking this brand since I was a little kid.
I've been drinking this brand since I was 11 through 12 when I lived in an apartment.
Yeah, we didn't have a fridge with a built-in water filter, so we used a Brita, right?
And they have a very, what I think, a stupid product. It's bottled Brita water, and they call it premium purified water.
This must be something new, because I've only ever known Brita for those water filters. You stick it in your fridge, you run your tap water through it, and you get cold, good water in your fridge. And it works good. I mean, Britas are great.
We had a Brita when we started this podcast.
Yeah. They dechlorinate the water. They make it taste better. You know, it can really help out your tap water.
Yeah, but it's premium purified water. That's not a thing.
Apparently it is.
I've
got a little bit of information here directly from Brita. And they're selling this product on Amazon and all kinds of places. But it says, ditch single-use plastic. Brita is the future of water. And they're talking about this aluminum bottle being a refillable bottle. So reduced your waste and money by refilling it. I guess maybe they want you to have one of those Brita filters in your fridge. Drink this and then fill it with that, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I think, honestly, not hating on the Brita brand, but I think this is a stupid product. Because you're a water filter company. Why would you start selling bottled water from your filter?
You want to hear the worst part, James?
What?
They're promoting this right here. I'm going to read. No springs harmed. Brita water is responsibly sourced to preserve community resources. So it's not spring water. It's municipal water. And then here it goes on to say superior 10-step filtration. Great tasting water thanks to our proprietary filtration process, which we know is probably some combination of reverse osmosis
and charcoal filtering.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And also I want to say on the back, I don't know if it's just bad design or is this really what they're doing and bragging about it, but it says 1% for the planet. That's the icon next to it. And then it says every bottle gives back proceeds from every purchase are used to support environmental solutions. Is it 1% of proceeds? 'Cause that's like, not much.
It's not much, but it's a big commitment for a company to make.
I mean, it is. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But if your whole thing is being, like, sustainably sourced and not ruining the environment while also giving water to the community, right? I think bragging about 1% on the bottle is a little odd.
Little odd. And, I don't think that's their mission necessarily. They're just trying to sell some water here.
Yeah.
Well, can we taste it, James? I'm really thirsty.
I mean,
I'm getting, cotton mouth, dry mouth.
Okay.
Like the aluminum bottle.
Yeah, the aluminum bottle is nice. That's a very,
It says added electrolytes for taste and pH balanced.
I will say it's very fun to pour. It's a very smooth water, like smooth feeling.
Let's try it.
I haven't even tasted
Cheers.
It yet, and I can tell.
Great ass. It's not bad. Not great. Mm. It tastes like tap water.
Yeah.
It's not bad though.
Yeah, I don't understand. I really don't. Oh, why? Why? Just why? Also, by the way, we have a thermometer here. We are drinking this at.
I'm gonna guess 59 degrees.
Wow, you're close. It's going in between 58.8 and 59.
How did I guess that?
You got extremely close, which in Celsius is, it's going down, 14.9.
Well, I know our podcast fridge is at like 42, and I know that these waters have been sitting out for a little while, so I just did a little bit of calculation in my head and came up with that number.
Awesome.
So, this isn't the best water. I would like to get your bottle cap rating.
My bottle cap rating on it? Well, first thing let's do is play another sting and hurt our listeners' ears because we don't know how to balance our audio properly. So hopefully while I was on that tiny little insignificant rant, you turned down your volume. Here you go.
Bottle cap ratings.
Yeah, it just tastes like a smoother tap water.
Well, I'll go first. I'm just going to give it 4 bottle caps, 4 out of 10.
Okay. I am going to go 4.5 because I like their sustainability. I don't like the water, but I do like their packaging, like how it looks, and also I like their sustainability.
James, would you say you have a knack for rating waters?
I'd say so.
I'd say so too.
It's almost like I have a podcast on it.
You know who else has a knack for rating and tasting waters?
Who?
International water sommeliers.
Well, you're not wrong.
So there was actually a huge event this past weekend.
There very much was.
And it was in Bled, Slovenia.
Yes.
And do you know where Bled, Slovenia is?
It's like a couple hours away from Venice, Italy.
That's right. Yeah. It's in Europe and it's not too far from Venice where we've been. We've built it probably a 3-hour drive from there, but it's beautiful there. It's very nice. And our friend of the podcast, world renowned water sommelier and water technologist, Milan Patel, was elected one of the 5 judges for this huge event in Bled.
Amazing. Yes. So cool.
So it's the Taste and Design Award, September 4th, 2021. So this happened this past weekend. And it's Fine Water International Water Tasting Competition. There's various different categories that they rated waters on, but they had a low mineral content, a mid mineral content, and a high mineral content. And then still and sparkling of both of those
and
versions.
And then also in the sparkling, they had added carbonation and natural carbonation.
Correct.
So a very thorough, not rating, but ranking of waters to find what's the best. And I'm very proud of a specific brand of water that I drink quite a lot because it is quite literally my favorite water that I have tasted. Well, I wouldn't say have tasted. I'd say that I can actually have access to. It's my second favorite that I've tasted.
Yeah, so I'm sure Milan did a fantastic job doing all of the judging there.
Yeah.
And they announced the winners last night. So we're going to go into that. And actually, I have a clip of Martin Reese, our water sommelier here in Southern California, who didn't get to attend this go around, but I'm sure we'll get a chance to next time, kind of summarizing the event. But Millen also is going to come on the podcast soon and give us a rundown of his experience in Bled. And hopefully we can have him on to do that.
Yeah, and so we are holding him to that. I really want to hear about that.
Right, yeah, it should be great.
Very interesting.
So here's Martin summing it up.
We just had the fine water tasting competition in Bled, Slovenia in 2021. Five water sommeliers from around the world had to judge what are the best tasting waters around the world right now in the year 2021. Obviously, I'm in Los Angeles and not in Slovenia, so I couldn't be part of this tasting this year, but hopefully I will do it next year. So here are the results, and congratulations to all the waters who won the bronze, silver, and gold. Thank you so much, and hopefully I will taste you soon here in Los Angeles. So please send me the waters. Cheers.
All right. So there's awesome. There's Martin. So I have the results here. And thank you, Martin, for summarizing them for us all. A lot of these waters, James, never heard of them. I mean, it just tells me that even 60 episodes into this podcast, we're barely scratching the surface on all the different waters out there.
Exactly.
So there's a lot to come ahead. But also, being at the International Taste and Design Awards, I think there were a lot of very, very high-end waters here.
Yeah.
And some of those aren't really accessible. Some of them are very expensive. Some of them you can't even get in the U.S. Some of them, as you said, James, are illegal in the U.S.
Yeah. We're talking to you, Roy Water.
Why is it illegal in the U.S.?
It's like too high of a mineral content or TDS or something. I'm not quite sure.
Can't like meet the standards.
But yeah, that's why it's like $30 to get a tiny bottle of it shipped to the U.S. It sucks so bad. We really want to try it, though. Yeah.
So in the still category, the super low category, what would be, like, if you think about a super low mineral content still water, what would be your favorite?
My favorite? Huh. I'm trying to think what... I'd say, is Topo Chico in that category?
No, it's medium. It's got medium. More mineral content. So okay. You're thinking of like glacial waters, like ones that are really like Icelandic glacial would be one. Richard's rainwater is super low mineral content.
Well, I guess I'd have to go with Icelandic glacial then.
Icelandic glacial, the still that we had on the last podcast actually and got very high ratings. Today we have the sparkling version.
Well, it didn't get very high ratings, but it got decent ratings.
Did it get eights?
It got sevens, I think.
Okay.
Seven and a half.
So in the still super low category, the gold medal goes to Thunderbird.
We've never heard of that.
Silver, so. Osu, another silver for APSU, and then bronze, Wassa Splendor, Svalbardi, which I know has a beautiful bottle.
Yeah.
And then Cloud Juice, which to me sounds like an IPA. I think it's a rainwater. And then in the still category, low category, Lasasse won the gold. Congrats, Lasasse. I know we followed them on Instagram. We haven't tried their water yet either. Silver to Theroni.
Didn't they also win best glass bottle design?
I think so. Yeah, that's the one in the really nice bottle too. Silver also in that category to Aquin Springs, and then bronze to Enki.
And then in the still high category, we've got gold goes to Vimeril. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds
hard to pronounce some of these names.
Yeah. And then silver, very proud of it. We have it right here, actually, to try soon. Sokosani still taking the silver home for us.
Yeah, let's crack some of that open. Look, it's actually got its awards from the previous competitions right on the label.
Wow, so you can add the 2021 silver to that, huh?
I bet.
And then in bronze is Three Bays.
Three Bays is from Australia.
Exotic sources. Water. There's only one.
Here's some Sokosani for you, Jay.
Thank you. I guess they only tried one. The gold goes to Amazon Air Water. Does that mean that they extract molecules from the air or something?
I don't know what that is.
It says exotic sources.
Oh, okay, cool.
That That's kind of crazy.
We have to research that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then in the added carbonation super low category, we've got gold going to Veen and then silver going to Lofoten. So we've got to get our hands on some of these because I never heard of most of these waters.
Mm-hmm.
Added carbonation in the low mineral content category, gold goes to Bambito, silver Enki, another silver to Theoni, and bronze to BLVD, which I guess is Boulevard.
Yeah, I've seen that water.
And then added carbonation medium category goes to Beloka for gold. Silver is Aura, silver, Perlage, bronze, Geisberg, and then bronze, Velamo. And then in the added carbonation high category, bronze goes to Vimiero, silver goes to three bays, and gold goes to my favorite water that I have frequent access to, Sokosani.
Yay, Sokosani.
The gold in added carbonation high category. Beautiful. And then in natural carbonation gold, or natural carbonation, the gold goes to ROI water.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We've really got to get our hands on that. Silver goes to Villa Juiga. Silver also goes to Pedras. Then silver number 3 goes to Radenska. And then silver number 4 goes to Guiti. So I guess a 4-way tie there. And then bronze goes to Carpatina. And then curated water, gold goes to Nevas. And silver goes to Minvino number 2.
Wow, number two.
So.
Oh, well. Lots of excitement going on over there in Bled, Slovenia.
Yes. Oh, Sokosani still is also good.
Congrats again to Milan on participating and doing the judging, and we can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah.
So the other topic that do we want to rate, do we need to get into another water to rate, or you want to go into some other topics, James?
Well, first let's give our bottle cap ratings on Sokosani still.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about Sokosani. So obviously another medal. In the Taste Design Awards, two medals, and they're going up against some pretty stiff competition in like crystal bottles and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sokosani, this is a water. It's inexpensive, yep. Relatively.
Well, meh.
I mean, it's accessible on Amazon.com here in the US, and they'll ship it right to your door for, I think, less than $2 per bottle,
uh-huh.
Something like that. So that's pretty amazing for a gold medal winning a water.
Yeah.
And it's great water, you know. It's from the Peruvian Alps. Certainly so much better tasting than that last one that we just tried, the Brita.
Yeah, volcanic origin. It's smooth. It's sweet and sour and earthy. And you get a little metallic
taste. And a little salt.
But in a good way.
And then it's got that silica, so smooth. I can see why it's winning.
It's delicious. And the sparkling version is even better.
Yeah.
Has a little more acidity to it.
Yeah, and it's not too overpowering the carbonation either. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
So, you know, given the winning in Bled, I'm going to have to give this Sokosani a 10 out of 10. I mean, 10 bottle caps.
Well, that we're rating the still version.
Yes.
Right now. So 10
Which
out
also
of 10?
Scored a bronze, silver medal, right?
Uh-huh. So you're giving it a 10 out of 10?
10 out of 10, 100%.
All right. Well, I am a Sokosani fanatic. My Sokosani is your, I don't even know.
Borajami?
Which one do you like?
I like Borajami.
Borajami? My Sokosani is your Borajami. It's just, I love it so much. I prefer the sparkling over the still, though, so this gets a 9 Gonna give it a 9 out of 10 and gonna give the sparkling one an 11 out of 10.
An 11? You can't give out 11s.
Okay, 10 out of 10.
Okay.
It's my favorite water because I like the sparkling like more, like quite a bit more. Not like the Sokosani still is still amazing.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But the sparkling one just blows me away every time that I drink it. So I like the sparkling one significantly more, so I'm going to do a whole point gap there just to kind of get that point across. But they're both delicious and both completely deserve the awards that they got.
Absolutely.
Mm. Delicious. So for our next topic, I think we're going to have to cut off this here and be right back because I have a topo fact right?
Oh, yeah. So we've got topo facts.
We're going to play the sting. Turn down your volume by, like, a notch or two so it can kind of regulate instead of blasting your eardrums out. And I'll be right back with the water that we need.
Topo facts!
All right, topo facts. Topo facts. Do you have a bottle opener? Because we need to drink topo with this.
A bottle opener. Well, let me find one and you start talking about it. What's going on with topo? All
right, so basically, Topo Chico right now is in very high demand, right? In Texas, especially. They love Topo Chico in Texas. More than anywhere else, which is crazy because we don't live in Texas. So, I don't know how they manage to drink more than us, but it's whatever.
I'm going to chalk it up to the popularity of this specific podcast as to why Topo Chico is in shortage.
Sure. Let's go with that. So, in Texas specifically, right now, they're in a shortage because there's an extremely high demand, and they're running out of glass because there's a glass shortage right now. So just Texas specifically. So here we're all good on topo,
but we're not, James. Don't you know we're not?
We're not.
Do you see why there's no Topo Chico in the house? I think we're down to our final case, and where a few months ago Topo Chico was everywhere at Ralph's, at Target, in the Whole Foods market, basically everywhere you go, they had it. Now it's out of stock.
Not fair.
So I'm not going to say it's as bad as the toilet paper crisis of 2000, but it's pretty bad.
Of 2000?
2020.
2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we are, yeah. So it's not as bad here, but it's still pretty bad.
So here's a news article out of Texas, WFAA 8 in Dallas. I remember I used to watch this station, local news, when we lived there, James. Let's see what this says. Might be an ad I have to skip through.
All right, I'm going to crack the top open.
Go ahead, open it up.
Ooh. Here, before we listen to that, can I get off track for a second, just really quickly?
Yeah, buddy, go ahead.
So, we bought some ghost shrimp recently for Axel, our pet axolotl, right? And he's been loving them. We bought 4 of them and put them in the tank, and he's been so happy because he's actually been able to, like, not be bored and hunt and do all that fun stuff. And he's really been hunting these ghost shrimp while we were doing our pod.
Yeah, they're really cool. They're little.
Yeah, they're little and they're completely clear. And he's caught a few already, I think. But he's been really happy with them. And I just wanted to say it's pretty awesome.
Well, I wanted to say it's been great watching you take care of his tank and testing his water and changing it out, making sure his filter's clean. And now getting them these ghost shrimp to play with is pretty cool and eat. Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking we're going to do next time, which is going to be even crazier? I heard somewhere that they actually eat minnows every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
So we might get a couple of minnows for him and plop that in the tank. And then he'll have to chase them swimming around.
Yeah, cool. Hey, pour me some of that Topo Chico. All what right. temperature is it?
Well, so the producer is in... is in the current room where
the podcast fridge is.
We don't want to interrupt her right now. So we're going to be drinking a room temperature one, but it's okay. We don't mind it because Topo Chico is still Topo Chico.
What's and the degrees?
It's currently at 74.8 Fahrenheit, yeah. Which is, let's see, 23.8 Celsius.
Okay, so pour some of that. I'm going to play the article on the Topo Chico shortage, and we talk about that a little bit more.
Carbonation.
We're facing a Topo Chico shortage. Kara, you ready for this? Because I got some time now. A true dilemma for Texas. The company says it's facing extremely high demand and doesn't have the materials to keep up because of a glass shortage. You guys, Kara drinks Topo Chico almost every day. She pops her little top, don't you, Kara?
Every day, multiple times a day. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Look, we figured out the real reason for all of this, all right? Former Cowboy Dez Bryant tweeted over the weekend, I'm the reason Dallas is out of Topo Chico. Dez, save some for Kara because she's not going to be happy if you take all her Topo Chico.
We'll be fighting over that last bottle there.
We got a problem, all right?
Topo Chico.
So that was a fun little segment. So really, you know, Topo Chico was purchased by the Coca-Cola company back in 2018.
Yeah.
And they've been really growing the brand and expanding.
Breaking news tonight at 10 under the Friday night line.
Turn that off. You know, they've really been expanding the brand marketing, spreading it out to all different states and growing it a lot. So it sounds like they've just gotten a little bit out ahead of their skis here with the growth of the brand and not being able to keep up with their manufacturing.
And very, very luckily, they haven't ruined the water. They haven't done anything weird to it.
Exactly. We don't need like a new formula or, you know, all of a sudden it's RO water with added carbonation or something.
Yeah. Only thing that they've done, which is kind of odd, is they made a hard seltzer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even use precious Topo Chico. So.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Well, Coca-Cola has a long history of screwing up different brands, so yeah. Let's see how they do. Hopefully they won't screw this one up, and I'm just talking about like when they came up with the new Coke flavor and all the outcry over that, and you know, there's been several other bad ones they've done. I think they just updated the Coke Zero flavor. There's some controversy about that.
I'm not a big fan of it, honestly. Not a huge fan
of it. You like
the
old one better?
Yeah, because the old one was less sweet, more acidic.
Well, when I have soda, which is pretty rare, but I did have one today, it's usually a Coke Zero that I go for.
Yeah.
So, I like the new one, too.
Hmm. Oh, all right, nice.
So, the other thing I want to talk about, James, is what's the best way to ship all this water? Water in glass bottles. And the reason I say it is because we've been having a little bit of a trouble. We've been trying to collaborate with Millen, and, you know, we sent him some Topo, and most of that made it there, but some of it broke in shipping. I'm sure that was the USPS, the United States Postal Service, that probably broke it before it even left here. But Millen's running into the same problem where I guess the Royal Post, as they call it over in England, isn't much better for taking care of our packages as the USPS over here.
In fact, I don't want to be mean, but I think they're worse. They broke everything.
They broke everything, and it didn't even get out of the country.
And it didn't get out of the country. What a shame.
And it was packed good, too. Everything's packed up. He used the same one that we sent from him, the temper pack. So, anyway, I think the best way to ship water, and we've received some bottles from Salacious Drinks and others. Usually they have to be, especially if they're glass bottles, unfortunately they have to be individually wrapped with like some sort of bubble wrap or something like that, and then some outer protection as well for the packaging, because just shipping the glass bottles and in the cases that they come in or whatever doesn't seem to be the post office and shipping companies don't seem to be able to handle that without rough handling them and breaking them.
I mean it's a shame that we didn't get those waters quite yet, but we'll get them eventually. We'll get them eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure what to do now. Do you want to?
Well, we got a couple more. I wanted to talk about this one. Do you want to try this one?
Yeah. So this is Alkaline 88 Smooth Hydration Water. Wow. Okay. So this is purified water with minerals and electrolytes for added taste, right? So, basic, same thing. It's in a aluminum bottle, but this one says it's enhanced with Himalayan minerals and electrolytes. What, so the minerals and electrolytes come from Himalaya, I guess?
Himalayan salt, probably.
Maybe, yeah.
So, this is, you know, there's a big trend going on now, and it's a little bit scary. People think that they need to adjust the pH of their body in order to be more healthy and like to not get cancer and other illnesses and stuff like that. But it's really just there's nothing to it. There's no science behind it, James. You know that? Like even the American Cancer Society says you can't change the pH of your body by drinking high pH water or low pH water. Mm-hmm. It's not possible. So it's just a bunch of false claims that they've got going on here.
Yeah. What does ionized mean again?
Ionized. We're going to have to look that one up, buddy.
It says ionized H2O. So we're going to look that up. We'll be right back. Alkaline 98.
88.
The name of this one. Oh, 88.
Because pH 8.8.
Wow. So creative. So awesome. What an amazing name.
So what an James, let's taste this water. And then we can talk about it some more.
Well.
Oh, you wanted to know about ionization, right?
Yes.
So I found some information on ionization. Number one, all water is ionized to start with. So you got that going on. Water ionized work by simply siphoning off the water near the cathode. Water siphoned off the cathode side contains increased levels of hydroxide, OH, and has higher pH, meaning it's more alkaline. Whereas water siphoned off near the anode has increased levels of H, making it more acidic.
Okay, so not every water is...
Well, all waters are ionized, some of them more than others, and some of them more alkaline, and some of them more acidic. So this one is on the more alkaline side, which, as we know, we just talked about, really doesn't do anything for you. You can't, like, change the pH balance of your body or anything. But this company, so they've been around since, I think, 2012?
I just realized something.
What?
So it says ionized H2O on here, right? That's what I wanted to know. But right next to it, it says TM, trademarked. So is it even...
Yeah, that's like, a trademark. It's just like a marketing tool, that whole piece of the thing there. This as well is a trademark.
Just right on the bottle.
So I did find their water report. You know, in transparency, the chemistry of their water, all the different bicarbonates and everything that's in it, it's all on their website. And then they also have a something about their purification process here. I'll let you guess what that is.
Huh. Does it start with an R?
It does. So alkaline 80 water is purified via reverse osmosis to remove any impurities and potential contaminants. Minerals are then added for taste. Electrolytes are introduced to stabilize the product at pH 8.8.
Well, I'll tell you what. Those electrolytes that they put to stabilize the water at pH 8.8 taste like dog doo-doo.
Well, they're doing something right. They've been around since 2012 and they're growing, so some people seem to like it. At least they're in an aluminum bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the water.
It is nasty. I don't like it.
What's your bottle cap rating?
It leaves like a minty taste in your mouth, kind of. It's very weird. I don't know. Is this like, do they have any other commitments to sustainability or something?
Not that I can see.
Okay. Yeah, they seem like a kind of tricky brand, a little suspicious.
A little bit. Like, it looks like, it's kind of marketed like a health water.
Yeah.
Kind of all these numbers all over it, and like, it's going to make you healthy. Water does make you healthy.
Yeah, but this one, not as much as spring water. So, I'm going to give it what did I give the Brita? 4.5 out of 10?
Yep.
I'm going to give this a 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10. Ooh. I'll go 2 as well.
2.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Bring it in. 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10.
Screw you.
All right, alkaline water.
Goodbye. I just threw it. You can't see it because it's an audio podcast, but I just threw the water. You have to use your imagination.
Certainly wouldn't qualify to go into the Fine Water Taste Design Awards.
Yeah. You can say that again.
Certainly wouldn't qualify to go into the Fine Water Taste and Design Awards.
You don't have to say that again. All right. Oh, I just looked over to Axel's tank, and he is in the spot where the last ghost shrimp that we think is alive just was.
Oh, he's hunting.
We saw.
He's hunting.
He might have gotten it already, honestly. He might have got his last tasty snack.
Check this out, James. This is all the waters from Bled. I think there might be some sound on this, too. I'm going to play it. You can take a look and see if you spot any waters that we've actually tried.
Oh, wait, no, the ghost shrimp is still there. I see it. He's moving around. Axel was close, though. All right, so let's see. Is there any waters that we've...
Take a look. It's a lot of waters on the table.
Oh, wow. And they all look beautiful.
Hilden, maybe?
I don't think Hilden's up there.
I don't even see San Pellegrino.
Yeah, I don't see Sokasani. I guess that's not all of them then.
Well, Sokasani has a glass bottle as well that they, I think it's primarily in Europe.
Can I see it one more time? I want to.
Yeah, I scrolled down.
Oh, I see the Sokasani.
Yeah,
oh, they
see
have...
it on there.
Oh, I accidentally went up, but
it's okay.
They had two bottles of Sokasani. So, yeah, I guess the still one's sparkling.
And there's the image from Blend.
That's beautiful. It's
beautiful, right?
Wow.
There you can see Millen doing his judging.
That's awesome. He's swagged out.
You bet.
Ah. Great. Yeah, that is beautiful. So much water-related decor and everything.
Right?
It's cool.
I'd like to go to Blend.
It's like, it's on a lake. They have a lot of water fountains and stuff that are really fancy looking. Cool. Yeah. Hopefully next year we get to have a segment on there, maybe.
Well, I would say, James, you know, aspiring to be a water sommelier would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can get certified as one.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask, are we allowed to, we're definitely allowed to talk about this, right? It's like a published thing.
What is it?
The, what is it? iHeartRadio podcast competition thing going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what there's a that? Podcast competition going on. We got to get our entry in.
Yeah. When is that? We got to do that.
For sure. Yeah, let's do a little research today on it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think, honestly, we'd be a pretty valid entrant.
Absolutely.
Like, we have 60 episodes on this podcast. We average... what, like, normally, like, around 15 plays per episode?
Oh, we're getting more than that.
Yeah. Well, our most played episode has, like, 50-something plays now.
No, more.
60?
Over 100.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. We got thousands of plays, buddy.
Wow. But, yeah, we've got 60 episodes on this. We've got a pretty consistent listenership. I'm a child, so that helps quite a bit.
You're a teenager.
And then also, our topic isn't a very, there's like a few other podcasts on it, because I know Martin Reese has his.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, and Millen has one as well.
Millen has one.
There's a few podcasts out there.
There's a few water podcasts, but not many.
Not so many. And not many as good as Bubbles.
Yeah, woo! Oh, I'm sorry. That was mean.
What's up with this big green bottle, James?
It's a water that you have a lot of nostalgia for. I don't, because I don't remember that part of my life. If I even drank this a lot in any part of my life.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of this water. You liked it, and maybe still do like it.
What is it?
It's Volvic water.
Volvic water from France, right? Spring water from France.
Is it spring water from France?
Yeah, man.
Made by the volcano. I'm not a big fan of it, though. I don't like... that it comes in a big plastic bottle, and I just don't like the taste very much, but we can try it.
Por qué?
It's also filtered.
Por qué? Which is why in France.
Why?
In French.
Why? I just don't like it much. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's try it.
I'm not a huge fan of it. Maybe my opinion on it changed, but let's see. I remember from last time I wasn't a huge fan.
It's not a premium water, but it is a natural spring water. I would say that it's... equivalent in the U.S. to like Arrowhead or Zephyr Hills, you know.
This is in the U.S. This is in Florida, right? You
this
find
Volvic?
Quite a bit in Florida.
More so in Europe, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Volvic water. Cheers. All
right. Cheers.
It's good.
Yeah, not a huge fan of it. It has a super earthy profile.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my favorite. But
let me see if I can figure out like it's total dissolved solids and what's going on with this Volvic water.
I get the appeal to it. It's smooth and earthy. I prefer waters that take me on more of a sweet, salty, acidic journey. Maybe a little bit of earthiness. But, yeah, this just gives you that rock, that dirt, the stuff that you...
it's a little bit earthy.
Get from the spring.
When we tested Volvic bottled spring water, we found out that the TDS levels in the water was 109 and a pH was around 7.
Hmm.
So it's got some total dissolved solids there. It's a little bit complex.
Yeah. And we are currently drinking this at, let's see, 61.2 Fahrenheit, which is 16.3 Celsius. So
the waters have come up a couple of degrees since we started the pod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for the topo, because that's been sitting on my shelf as decoration for a while. But that one wasn't special edition or anything, so I can just interchange it.
Yep.
It's kind of funny. I have a shelf, and there's a Liquid Death sticker on it. And then I have a mini limited edition Topo Chico bottle. And then I normally have a big one right next to it, and it's supposed to be me and my co-host.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Maybe I should add another for the producer, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. I'll add another for the producer.
So, co-host, what is your bottle cap rating on Volvic Natural Spring Water?
I'm going to give it a...
Well, before you rate it, let me read this to you. Unique, fresh, fresh and natural taste. I am now made 100% recycled material. I hope to see you again.
I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10. I just wanted to say...
Did that raise your rating that I told you that it's made from recycled plastic?
What's the percentage of recycled plastic?
It says made of 100% recycled materials, and then there's an asterisk there. So, excluding cap and label.
Oh.
So all this PET plastic here is recycled plastic.
All right.
It's still plastic. Still gonna end up in the ocean.
I'm gonna keep it at 6.5 out of 10. I just wanted to say the jump from 6.5 and 7 is probably one of the most significant jumps on the
It is, right?
Scale.
You're kinda going from a mediocre type of water into like upper class water.
Because our rating scale is not free of flaws, right? Because even though it's just a like basic 1 through 10 rating scales where you're allowed to have half points. Like, the jump from a 1 to a 2 is drastic, right?
Yeah.
The jump from a 2 to a 3, not much, right? 3 to a 4, right? 4 to a 5, nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, I'd say so, right? Maybe we have different opinions on it, but 5 to a 6, very mediocre.
I would say 4, 5, and 6 are, like, mid-range.
Yeah.
Like, they're all going to be pretty, you know.
But then 6 to a 7, that's where you take... one of the biggest jumps into like higher class waters. 7 to 8 is pretty big, not as big as 5 to 6 though. Not as big as 6 to 7. 8 to 9 is pretty big, and then the biggest one of course is 9 to 10.
Getting that perfect 10.
That perfect 10 is incredibly rare. The only perfect 10s we've had are, I think, Vichy Catalan,
mm-hmm.
Saint Girone, Sokosani.
Yep.
And Topo Chico.
And now, yeah, Sokosani today got one.
Yeah.
And did Borajami get a perfect 10 or no?
Borajami, no. I've always rated it in the 9s because it's not a bottle that I can even drink like a full serving of.
Right.
You know? But it's a really good water though. So I think that's the only ones that I've gotten perfect 10s. Well, perfect 20s is like, yeah. Perfect 20 wise, that those
perfect 20. What's a perfect 20?
Both of us give 10.
Oh, yeah, 10, 10. Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's been Sokosani, Topo, and Vichy, right?
Yeah. So, did you give your rating on the Volvic?
And I think also Hilden still.
Oh, yeah, Hilden was also up there.
10 out of 10.
10 and Volvic? You gave it?
Volvic, I gave it a, what did I give it? 6.5?
6.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give it a 7. You know, I really like it. I think it's pretty affordable. It's a spring water, natural, nothing added, nothing taken away. Good thing they're using recycled plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have one more to get into here, James. And this one, we had it still brother on the last podcast.
Yep. And now we have the one that is much more loved by the parents, much more spoiled, and yeah. We have the sparkling version of Icelandic Glacial, which is much better, in my opinion. I enjoy it a lot. A lot. I just want to say, my only complaint about this, which is, it's kind of a petty complaint, I hate the seal on it. It makes it feel like it's been tampered with because it's such an easy seal to break.
Really? Why?
Right? Like, because on the other ones, when you break the seal, you can tell. There's like a crack and stuff, and there's a bit of pressure.
Yeah.
On this one, I already opened it now.
Okay.
It feels like it's been kind of tampered with.
It has the tamper-proof ring. That's good.
It does have it, but it's like such a small crack and like almost no pressure.
Yeah.
That
it's a thicker bottle too. It's more plastic for sure.
Uh-huh. But it is a delicious water.
So Icelandic Glacial is sourced from the legendary Ulfus Spring in Iceland, one of the world's most pristine ecosystems. It's processed at a naturally low mineral content, TDS of 62 parts per million. That does not crowd the palate with heavy metals, minerals, or silica. A water so pure, nothing is added or taken away.
All right.
Salud.
Salud.
Good, you know, to look people in the eye when you cheers them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Nah, because the reason.
The reason? To be social.
Yeah, to be social.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers to being social.
To good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And good other things.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's good water.
Yeah, tasty. I really enjoy the sparkling version a lot more than still. It has a lot more acidity, and the sweetness is highlighted more. Here, do you want some of mine?
No, I'm good. I got mine. Yep.
You get a little bit of a metallic taste, too, which ends up complementing the acidity even more. The carbonation is really nice as well. I'm going to give this a, let's see.
And remember, they're carbon neutral.
They are carbon neutral.
Yeah.
This is going to get a 9 out of 10 from me.
9? Wow, that's a good rating, James. Actually, you're up there.
Yeah, 9 out of 10. I really do love the water. It's nice.
I like it a lot, too, but I'm going to go 8.
8?
Yeah.
But you enjoy it more than me.
I do, but, you know, tasting the waters today, especially this, like, array of waters that we have, and some good, some bad, but the Sokasani is so great, it's so far above, that I can't, like, just give it one less than Sokasani.
But you see, we gave Sokasani perfect 10s, and I just talked about it. The jump from a 9 to a 10...
It's big.
...is the biggest jump by far. It's like the... I want to put this into perspective. 9 out of 10 jump is like jumping from a 3 to like a 6.
Yeah, it's like from chess to checkers.
It's like double.
The other way around. Checkers to chess.
Uh-huh. it's doubling pretty much. It's got to be a elite water.
So it's like the earthquake scale. Like a 7.0 earthquake's not that bad, but an 8 is like 10 times worse than a 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's
how the bottle cap rating scale works, the Richter scale.
9 out of 10 is, like, by a large, large amount, the most significant jump. 9 to 10.
So you're on a 9? I'm on an 8.
I am on a 9. I honestly do think it's almost on par with the Sokasani still. With the Sokasani still, I think it's almost... I gave both of them a 9. I think this is a little below it, but Sokasani Sparkling just blows all of them out of the water.
Yep.
I'd rather have one cup of Sokasani Sparkling than owning all of these bottles to my name. I want to say that. All of the ones that we've tried today.
Yeah, I would support that. I agree.
Because it's just so good. It's delicious. Yeah. But this is a good water too, though. So... Episode number 60, huh?
60! Did we have any other topics to get into here? Let me check the notes.
Well, I wanted to talk. There's another thing that we got, Axel, which is pretty interesting. Where's this dude now? Oh, he's definitely still hunting the ghost shrimp. Oh, and the ghost shrimp moved spots. He might have gotten it now. Wow. This ghost shrimp has survived a while, though. I'm kind of rooting for the shrimp now. It's been there for so long. Which, I mean, not like so long. We got it, what, yesterday? But that's all the other ones have been eliminated, I think, so.
Don't get too attached to that shrimp, because I have a feeling that he's not going to be around very long.
Oh, I'm definitely not. I've made a point to not name the shrimp, because they're basically just a fun way for Axel to get food. But,
because usually what does he eat?
He eats frozen bloodworms, which don't move at all, because they're already dead. But, yeah.
This is what I wanted to share with you, James. One of the winning waters, the gold medal winning waters, is APSU. And I wanted to see if you can read that and then just scroll down after you read that and and read the rest.
All right. Yeah, I want just the thing I was going to say real quick before we talked about this. What we got him recently is a moss ball, right? And we didn't get one of the real moss balls that are, like, just completely moss, because there was a thing, a very big, nationwide scare a couple months ago.
Yeah, really?
That was,
I didn't know that was an artificial moss ball. I thought it was real.
Ago. Well, there's actual moss around it, but the inside is, like, a kind of rubber plastic thing, right?
What was the scare?
So, on a highly invasive species of, is it mussel or clam? Zebra mussels.
Oh, yeah, I know about those. Yeah.
Highly invasive species were found in, like 46 out of the 50 states had, like, most of the moss balls had invasive clams inside of them.
Oh, wow.
So they were ordered to not flush the moss balls, but destroy them.
Yeah.
And, because it could ruin the tank, it could ruin everything, kill your pets.
Well, it goes even bigger than that, James. Some of those species of those little mussels, they're little tiny mussels, but they're really, really causing a havoc on the ecosystem.
Yeah.
And it's a big, big problem for boaters, especially lake boaters. I remember in Texas, but in all states, a lot of states, they have these bans and you have to make sure that you totally clean your boat and that you don't go from one lake that has those into a lake that doesn't have them and spread them because they're really hurting the ecosystem. They take over everything.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, it was a big, big scare. So they had these artificial moss balls. Well, we only got one. They're significantly more expensive, but it's still not a huge price because...
How much is one of those moss balls?
Like $6.
Okay. And how long does it last?
6 months or so before you have to change it. Yeah. So we got it because one, Axel loves the feel of it. Axolotls, they love to like just rub up on it, and they like how it moves when they move it. So they like the moss balls, and also it helps clean up some of the nitrites. In the tank.
Keeps the biome of the tank going good.
But we still gotta clean the filter, even though we got the ghost shrimp and the moss ball. Today, after this podcast, we're gonna clean the filter and scrub the tank down to a water change.
Change about a third of the water.
Cool.
Good. So yeah, this is one of the gold medal winning waters.
Luxury water harvested from the heart of Patagonia. Pristine water bottle in limited quantity. We value and protect the origin of unique water that delivers in each drop the spirit of the source. Wow, that's a beautiful bottle. After spending years exploring the extreme and inhospitable
there you go.
Part of Patagonia in search of the best-kept secrets of nature.
Here, have some more Sokasani.
I don't want much more. I'm very hydrated.
A little bit.
Give me a little bit. I need some water to keep my lips from going dry. Inhospitable heart of Patagonia in search of the best kept secrets of nature. We have found the source of absolute pristine, ultra low minerality water. Apsu orange water is exclusivity at this
pre-order.
What? Okay, Okay, so what I'm looking at right now is what I'd say, like, what, a liter bottle of this stuff?
It's probably a liter, 750 milliliters.
Liter bottle of
it's a beautiful bottle.
Origin water. It's a beautiful bottle that cost $140.
On pre-order.
Without shipping.
Yeah.
Without shipping calculated at, wait, let me, I need to see this. How much is it shipping to the USA? What does it come out to?
Well, we were in Patagonia a couple of years ago. We should have just gone and dipped our glass down in the Jiao Jiao Lake, because that's got to be about the same.
Yeah. Honestly, I'd just rather buy an economy plane ticket.
Expensive water, but it just shows you there's all kinds of water out there. High-end premium stuff, but, you know, sometimes the best water is just the stuff coming out of the tap. You know, we don't mean to put down tap water. We just don't think you should buy, like, tap water in the store in a plastic bottle.
Oh.
Use your tap water at home. Filter it and drink it. Put it in your own bottle.
Boo. It makes you put in information for buying it before you can continue to shipping. I just want to see what it would come out to if you plus the shipping cost. Because it has to be a ridiculous amount. So.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be on fine liquids and on salacious drinks at some point.
Yeah, for like $200
but,
bucks,
you know, we're not about to go spend $150 on a bottle of water right now.
Yeah, we're probably going to spend $40 on a tiny, tiny bottle of water, though.
The ROI?
Yeah, at one point. Not right now, though.
Yeah.
Have you got anything else?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, all the stuff going on in the environment right now, because it's pretty crazy. You know, out here in California, there's some pretty bad fires going on, and I know it's impacted a lot of people. A lot of people are hurting. They've had to be evacuated. Some people have lost their homes. People have lost their lives. It's pretty scary. And then, you know, also we just had a big hurricane down in Louisiana.
And a ton of flash floods.
Floods all throughout New York and Pennsylvania, too. But, you know, hurricanes are really tough, James. You were very little when we lived in Florida, but we used to have to go through hurricane season, and we were hit by some bad hurricanes too, where we lived. It's pretty scary, and especially the aftermath where you don't have power for a long time. So our hearts go out to those people down there suffering through all those natural disasters, as well as the folks that were impacted by that big storm in New York.
I heard that I heard from a person that sat through Hurricane Katrina. You guys did too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That Hurricane Ida, the one that just hit, was significantly scarier. Like, a lot scarier.
So yeah, it was a Category 4 hurricane. That's not a storm to mess with, that's for sure. It's going to rip apart houses and roofs and do all kinds of damage.
Yeah, I saw a video of it absolutely, like, obliterating a hospital.
Yeah.
Like, not like, actually obliterating. That would be so sad. But, like, it took the roof off completely.
Yeah. We've been through some bad ones in South Florida where, you know, buildings were knocked over and all kinds of damage happened.
Yeah.
Cranes on the side of the building smashing windows.
Even Waffle House had to shut down.
Yeah, that's how they know if it's getting back up, the Waffle House rating.
You know, it's a lot deeper than you would expect. I can explain it right now.
Yeah, I actually heard a podcast about it, but I'd love to hear you explain it.
Okay, so I'm going to explain it. I'm going to just... We'll be right back because there's a little thing on.
You got to set up the story.
Yeah, and also there's a little thing on the Anchor website version that we're using on the computer where you only have a 30-minute time limit for each segment.
So, oh, good thinking, engineer.
Yeah, it's at 28:13. So this segment's been going on for a while.
Little bit, yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm never gonna cut off mid-sentence. Yeah. So Waffle House.
It's Waffle kinda, House Index.
It's kind of crazy. So what they have is they have a whole storm tracker and stuff like that too. FEMA actually uses them.
So Waffle House is a chain of restaurants, mainly through the South, but I think they're all over the place now, all over most of the U.S.
Yeah, and they're not really the most well-kept place.
They're pretty good. They're always clean. I'll go into a Waffle House. I'll mess with a Waffle House, especially if I need, like, a late night eat.
Exactly. If you need a late night, maybe drunk eat, then.
Well, the thing with Waffle House, what is really amazing about the company, is they get their stores back up and running immediately.
It's crazy.
Because they want to make sure that any first responders, people in the area, they can feed them. it's really important for them to help out the community.
Yeah, and like the people who work there also have different roles in response to an emergency. Like the restaurant manager, I think, is also like a storm tracker or something. And they even like they have stuff like waffles get off the menu.
At their headquarters, they have a storm tracking system.
Yeah,
and they have a go team. An advanced team that's ready to go to any area that's hit by a natural disaster to get their stores up and running.
They have people ready to parachute in if they need it. they have generators in all their stores.
Correct.
And they have people ready to go.
What you call disaster recovery plans, where they have generators ready to go to keep the food good. Uh-huh. They have ways to get their supply chain to those restaurants really quickly to get them back up and running.
They have ways to get their generators back up and running if they end up failing.
Yep, and these are the levels of the Waffle House scale.
Yeah, so green, full menu, yellow, limited menu.
What does it say after that?
The restaurant is closed. So green is restaurant has power and damage is limited or no damage at all. Yellow is... no power or only power from generator or food supplies may be low. And then red is indicating severe damage or severe flooding.
Wow.
Yeah, so they have a whole go team. They have delivery, or not delivery, they have food trucks ready to go in case Waffle House needs to do it that way if their restaurants, like, cannot operate. It's insane. They're really on it. It seems like they're less of a restaurant and more of a disaster response team now.
Yeah. The Waffle House Index test doesn't just tell us how quickly the business might rebound. It also tells us how the larger community is faring. The sooner restaurants, grocery, corner stores, or banks can reopen, the sooner local economies will start generating revenue again, signaling a stronger recovery for the community. The success of the private sector in preparing for and weathering disasters is essential to a community's ability to recover in the long run. I think that's a really important thing, James, because oftentimes people kind of rely on the government. Oh, the government will keep me safe and save me. That's not always the way things are. Everyone's got to be prepared, whether it's your individual preparation or for your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you have anything else to talk about?
Well, what's on for the rest of the day for you, James?
Well, right after this, we're going to clean Axel's tank out.
Yeah.
Do a nice nice cleaning for him.
And then we've been working through all of the James Bond movies.
Yes.
I don't know which one we're up to today, but I was going to try to watch one of those with you if you're down for it.
Yeah, maybe we chill for a bit and then watch it like a 30 minutes or an
that
hour
sounds
after
cool.
We clean Axel's tank.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But then other than that, we're just going to kind of chill here. Huh?
It's a beautiful day. I went out to the dog beach a little bit earlier with the producer. That was pretty nice.
I went and played basketball. Yeah.
Good. So James, first of all, we always want to say thank you to the listeners, right? So why don't you do that part?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoy it. If you want to rate and review us, you can do that on any streaming platform that you're listening to, I'm pretty sure.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify,
Anchor.
Stitcher, Anchor.
We would prefer 5 stars, but give us whatever you feel is correct. If you want to reach us, come in contact with us, you can do that through our email. TheBubblesPodcast@gmail.com. You can do that through our Insta @TheBubblesPodcast, our TikTok @TheBubblesPodcast. If you wanna be featured on the podcast but not talk to us live, you can go to our Anchor page and then click that little voice message button and record one of those for us, and we'll be able to feature you on the podcast. Let's see.
I think that's all the plugs.
Yeah.
All the plugs for now. Congrats to Sokasani and to everyone that participated in the BLED Design and Taste Awards.
Yeah.
And until next time, I'm Steve.
I'm James.
And this has been...
Bubble! I know we already recorded our outro, but I just wanted to say, is it? this podcast was an hour and 4 minutes long. I think that was a pretty worthy 60th episode podcast.
Yeah, James, 60 episodes in the books. Congratulations.
Woo! Goodbye. Bye-bye.